A's continue on the welcome home stand, 3-1 so far, which means 8 more games to go against Cleveland again tonight, losing in 10 innings last night. And Hand, one of the new acquisitions, the reliever, has struggled, but, you know, we expect bigger and better things out of him. And so a star starter and a closer acquired, and everybody's optimistic. It's nice to have that buzz back for the ball team.
Yeah, and certainly I think the mark left by Jose Bautista, who was on Al's brother's ranking of great Toronto athletes of the decade. I think there was such a sense of optimism when it was Bautista and it was Donaldson and Edwin and Encarnacion, and then things kind of took a dip, and now it feels like they're getting back to their playoff caliber teams, where, you know, you've got guys like Vladdy, you've got Bo Bichette, you've got these young, exciting players, and then now that they've got the pitching thing, other than Hand, right now, they've got it going in the right direction, that you feel optimistic that this actually could be a playoff team consistently sooner than later.
Let's bring in Keegan Matheson. At Keegan Matheson is the Twitter account. Keegan is works for MLB.com, Blue Jays reporter. Keegan, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How's everyone today?
Good. Sounds like you're at the ballpark?
At the ballpark. Good to be back. It's a little louder than my living room was the last couple of years, yeah.
Well, we were talking earlier in the show just about the outside energy in Toronto with the Blue Jays back. What has it been like for you to be back in the building where, you know, you've been accustomed to doing your job prior to COVID? And I guess just how exciting has it been individually for you to be back and experiencing the normalcy of your job?
It's very different, very exciting to be back. I think a lot of the players forgot that I do exist with a full lower body, not just a Zoom head, which is nice. So it's great to be back around and have some human conversations and see those interactions. You certainly see the fans back here. And in a normal time, when you're seeing 40, 45,000 people in here, that noise becomes something you're used to. But now, even just hearing the 15,000, it's amazing to hear that roar again, have a live crowd that's actually reacting to what's in front of you. It certainly beats the couch, it beats TV, and the energy here has just been fantastic.
Might be a new TV show. Hey, Zoomhead. Nobody's called you that, right?
Thankfully, not yet.
Talk to me about what you think the Jays have here. Were you happy with what they did at the deadline? Most were, and where does this lead?
I think it made a lot of sense what they did at the deadline, because they weren't really set up for pure rentals. I know that Brad Hand fits that rental profile, but having Berríos going into next year makes a lot of sense, because right now where the Blue Jays are, they still need a run. They still have to go on that run like the 15 Blue Jays did, running off 11 games straight in August. And maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. They need some late game hitting. They need that pitching to be there. But stretching this into 2022 makes a lot of sense for the Blue Jays. And this is when it gets uncomfortable for people. I know you're dealing prospects who fans do fall in love with, but baseball prospects are meant to break your heart. They will do it via trade or via not reaching the potential eventually. And every once in a while, you're going to trade away a Fernando Tatis, and that's going to hurt, and you're going to feel that sting for a couple of decades. But more often than not, when you're dealing prospects, you are dealing them at the height of their value. And it's getting into that tough time for the Blue Jays. More of those decisions ahead, definitely, but I think it was a good middle-of-the-road approach in terms of balancing a bit of a run this year, but you've got to take care of next year as well. Robbie Ray is a free agent, and you need that number two guy behind Hyunjin Ryu.
Well, Keegan, you mentioned the lack of late-game hitting. What do you attribute that to, or what do the players say about where that goes? I mean, I think they're first, correct me if I'm wrong, they're first in the league, up until the sixth inning, and then after that, it seems like they fall off pretty consistently and just not getting that support.
Yeah, Kristen, there's been so many games where the Blue Jays get that big lead and hand it to the bullpen and say, take it the rest of the way, which has put pressure on the bullpen, frankly, and that's really highlighted some of those issues. But the Blue Jays dealing with relievers late, well, then you're dealing with the guys who throw 98, 99, which everybody does now. That's almost become not special coming out of the bullpen. You expect it. So matchups, the best pitchers are coming into the games, but at the same time, other teams can do it. Other teams are hitting better than the Blue Jays, so it's not impossible. So some of that comes with youth and inexperience in some senses, learning how to adjust from a starter to a reliever late in the game. But the Blue Jays need to figure that out. That's something that Marcus Semien highlighted the other day in terms of what needs to happen down the stretch, because if the Blue Jays are going to make a real run, and I mean that long winning streak that defines a season, it's not all going to be clean. There are going to be some messy games where they have to come back and steal a win late from somebody. And for as good as this lineup is, they haven't really stolen that many wins in the seventh or eighth or ninth inning this year. It doesn't fit. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And they have to figure that out. That's necessary. They've got to figure out a way to hit late.
Keegan, is there any way to know, I guess it'll unfold in front of our eyes, three home parks for the Jays in one season? Is that something that could cause a problem later on or not?
It's interesting to see how these guys adapt to that, just in terms of day-to-day life. I mean, being back in Toronto and waking up in your own apartment or at least a long-term hotel, making yourself breakfast and not seeing your suitcase first thing when you wake up, it impacts different guys differently. If you are a young rookie coming onto this team without a family, it might be a bit easier. But I think the wear that you see from that, the fatigue from that, is going to be a test down the stretch, because there's a lot of ball games, and other teams have lived a little more simply. I don't even think so much about on the field, but off field, that travel, that hotel life, which adds up, that's going to be something I think is worth watching down through September, especially when you're getting into pitchers who are stretching back out, because it is not just unique this year. This is all-time unique, what the Blue Jays have had to deal with, and it's not something we have much of a blueprint for to even analyze. It's incredibly unique.
Where is George Springer at this point? Has he begun to really emerge as the type of player that the Jays were expecting?
Yeah, this looks like him now. It looks like it makes sense. And part of that is the backdrop of being at the ballpark here, seeing George Springer at Sky Dome like it was supposed to be all along. But, you know, we saw early this year when he came back from his first injury, he was just so clearly not himself. That was a little rough to watch at first. Back on the IL, and then when you're back from an injury as long as that, everybody else is in midseason form. You know, pitchers are ready. They are more sharp than you are at that point. But lately, when he is stealing bases, taking extra bases, being aggressive on the bases, it has not always worked by any means. But you see him being at 100% health and getting that timing back, because he's such a dynamic all-around athlete, incredibly athletic. He has the power to hit 40 home runs. Having that at the top of your lineup, after that big investment, it took the Blue Jays a while to see that, but the all-around profile, you know, there is a reason the Blue Jays dropped $150 million on this guy, and this week, this last week or so, winning player of the week, you're really seeing that full package.
You know, trying to figure out, I was going to ask you to complete the sentence, so I will. The Jays' season will be a failure if...
if they do not reach the playoffs. I mean, this team is built with Springer, with Vladdy playing at an MVP level, with Ryu, with investments in this team. I think the time where the Blue Jays can say this is still development, this is still part of a process, that's over. And that has to be over. I think that thinking needs to be over, because you can't bet on Vladdy playing like this every year. I mean, sure, he might. This might be who he is for a decade, but you can't bet on finding a veteran second baseman like Marcus Semien, who plays like an all-star and one of the best in the game next year either. There are so many things going right for this team. Now, the bullpen at times and some other issues have undermined that. You've seen how a weak roster spot can really sink a team sometimes. But with all of these things going right, this has to be postseason or failure considered for the Blue Jays. I think that's the point they're at in this growth.
Well, we know that the Jays traded or acquired Corey Dickerson back in June, and he is set to make his debut with the team tonight. What is the fair expectation for him and what he's going to add to this lineup, especially as we know now that Biggio going to the IL with those back and neck issues?
Yeah, Charlie Montoyo really likes this guy. They spent some time together in Tampa, and Dickerson adding into that outfield. I remember at the time of that trade, Simber and then Dickerson was kind of the and on the end of that deal, but some real value here. And the example that Charlie Montoyo uses is kind of that Rays model. And I know we really beat that Rays model idea over and over, but when you look at his fit on this roster, there will be days where he's in the starting outfield and he's adding a lefty bat, but the Rays always tend to have one or two guys on the bench who come out and just always make a play, get a hit, and there's always someone on the Rays bench the Blue Jays fans are annoyed with, and that's kind of what Dickerson can be. You know, come in and make those max effort plays. Charlie keeps calling him a gamer. That's the word you hear over and over again, but having that deeper bench, the Blue Jays will need that because they're very righty heavy all season, which that's been okay. They've hit everything mostly, but having some balance and having that on the bases, I think, will help, especially late in games, which, going back to that, maybe that's part of the solution.
You know, when we have Steve Phillips on, he talks about the run differential. As we speak right now, the Jays are at 104, plus 104. The Yankees, a game ahead, are at minus 6. I mean, that number alone should force them up the standing, shouldn't it?
That should, logically, eventually. That's got to balance out. And that's one of the beauties of baseball, is that you can't really fluke your way along. Eventually, over 162 games, things have to balance out for the Blue Jays. Now, it's not going to swing completely in the other direction. It's like we talk a lot about, are the Blue Jays better than their record? I lean towards no. You are what your record says. That's the only way we rank teams. And it's how they get there has not been traditional, of course. There have been some big wins and then tight losses. That's how you get such a differential. But I think winning those tight games would really turn this around. And that's one of those other reasons that you point to this team. You look at the talent on this roster. If you lay this down as a paper roster, look at it as a video game, there is so much talent on the roster. It's just that the final few spots on the roster, which sometimes has been the bullpen, have led to some losses along the way. But the top-end talent is just certainly there.
Keegan, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
Keegan Matheson, MLB.com, Blue Jays reporter at Keegan Matheson is the Twitter account against Cleveland tonight. Cleveland, by the way, in the run differential, minus 27. That plus 104 is startling.
Yeah, well, when Keegan was talking there about the Blue Jays, I couldn't help but think a little about another team where the top-end talent looks pretty good. You just need the pieces to fill in if you're the Jays, right?
We cannot escape.
On paper, they tee us up for these things, Jim. It's like people know. Yeah. They want us to talk only about the Leafs.
There's no escaping the Maple Leaf story, is there?
Because you can make anything about them. Because so much has happened.
You could phone up in the middle of August in a heat wave and mention something about the Leafs and it'll ripple right through social media and people want to get in on it.
Well, but as you say, it's an interesting, or as Keegan said, it's the expectations are there now for the Blue Jays just because of their young talent, though, and because on paper they have something in Vladdy, obviously, that is lightning in a bottle. Potentially, you don't know where he's going to go as he continues to mature. And when you've got a player that good who's that hot, you've got to capitalize on it. It's again, you had a Rocket Richard winner on your roster and you didn't make it out of the first round. And I'm just saying, take advantage.
And a first all-star winger.
Take advantage of your opportunity.
First one since 1962.
When was the last cup? Somewhere around there.
67, yes. Yes. Crazy. What was I going to say? Oh, so Al's brother, when he was on with his this power rankings and had the two Blue Jays in there, talked about them winning, but, you know, they didn't get all the way. They won, how many did they win, a round or two? I can't even remember.
They did. They made it past the play-in round, if you want to call it that. Right. There was the wild card, the play-in round, the wild card. And it was, they had some memorable series, especially against Texas, if I remember correctly. So they at least moved forward. They moved the needle.